And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the topics, issues, and people that are important to you. Even topics that you may not have realized are an issue in this community are important. And that's what we're here to talk about today. We know that the coronavirus has been dominating headlines, and certainly it is a very vast topic to tackle, especially with the state of Colorado now in a stay-at-home order upon orders of Governor Jared Polis. So many families staying at home, unused to that because their workplaces have been shut down. So right now, a lot of families dealing with a lot of change. But we're going to be talking about a different topic today, a different issue, a hidden issue for many in our community, but it's an important issue nonetheless. We're talking about human trafficking and an issue that a lot of people don't even realize is such an issue in Colorado. But let's talk about the statistics. In 2018, the most recent year for which we've got statistics, more than 500 contacts or calls were made to the National Human Trafficking Hotline from the state of Colorado about potential problems or victims here. And that gave rise to 178 confirmed cases of human trafficking just from our state alone. There is a group that is dedicated to trying to stem the tide and provide shelter, provide a place of respite, a community for the victims of human trafficking. And that group is behind a community called Bikita Mountain Home. And joining me on the phone right now, we have Sister Rosanna Barnum, as well as Pat Welsh, who's on the board of directors for Bikita Mountain Home. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Let's talk to you, Sister. First, how did you first become aware of this issue and why you became so, I guess, dedicated to this cause?
Good morning, Shannon, and all our listeners. About 8 or 9 years ago, I started going to the human trafficking, Southern Colorado Human Trafficking Task Force. And through that experience and exposure to, there are about 40 so nonprofits that work on the issue of trafficking in El Paso County. And because of that, I learned more and more about it and felt it was a silent, hidden crime that needed to be exposed in Colorado and El Paso County and throughout the state. So Bitter Hill Monastery, being an order of Benedictine women, we focus on education, awareness, and information on issues of our times. And as I got involved personally and asked our community to get involved, we developed a series of human trafficking prevention programs, and we just completed our fifth year of programs this past February. And through those programs, it was not only education, information, and awareness, we also moved into the whole need for advocacy. Well, what are we going to do about it? And out of that grew some women, specifically Benedictine sisters from Bennett Hill, and also sisters from Mount St. Francis. We both envisioned a home or something for women, adult women, who have been freed from human trafficking. And so that was the beginning of that. And 2 years ago, January 2018, we formed a founders group for Bikita Mountain Home.
And Bikita comes from a saint's name, Saint Josephine Bikita.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who was sold into the slave market of Sudan. So that is where the, I guess, the parallels are drawn with the name and the mission of what this home is trying to do, trying to provide shelter and community for the healing of women who've been the victims of human trafficking. So, so tell us.
I might just.
Go ahead.
I might just say that Bakita means, it means, it's Arabic for fortunate one. And ironically, she was named by her perpetrators and her traffickers.
And so that's just terrible. So the, I guess the Order of Benedictine Sisters came together with the sisters from St. Francis, as well as an outside group of volunteers who also are dedicated to doing something. So what is the something that you want to do that is your group's mission, your group's goal?
Our main purpose is to now, at this point, continue education. But right now, we're focusing on developing. We have a home, and it's in our El Paso County. So we're in the process of that home set up for five women or more, and who are desiring to change their lives and to be self-sustaining and be free and that life.
Sister Roseanne, I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to take a quick break. We also want to tell our listeners that obviously in this time of coronavirus, we are not having guests in our studio, which is unfortunate. We have to rely on speaker phones and such for folks to make their connection. And it sounds like we're having a little problem with Sister Roseanne's speaker phone. So, Sister, I'm going to ask you to call in again if you could. During the break. But right now, we are going to take a break for commercials. We're going to be back in a moment talking more about the important issue of human trafficking and the drive to provide some sort of a shelter, some sort of community for the victims who find themselves emerging from the shadow of being victims of that crime. Your time right now here on KRDO's Morning News is 9:16. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, the topics, and the issues that are important to you or that are important in this community. And today we are tackling a very hefty topic, the topic and issue of sex trafficking, human sex trafficking. It's an issue that lies under the surface. Often the victims of it are discovered and sometimes even prosecuted for what essentially are crimes they are committing under the guise of being victims, because they are victims of a mastermind, someone who is directing what they do, who has been the one to be the trafficker. So we're joined on the phone right now by Sister Roseanne Barman, who's from the Order of Sister of the Benedictine Sisters, as well as Pat Welsh, who's the vice president of the board of a group called Bakita Mountain Home. And they are working to provide a home, a place, a shelter for women to experience healing after being victimized by sex trafficking through three components, through finding a safe haven, through receiving trauma-informed therapy, and through also broadening life-enhancing skills. And I'd like to start with talking to Pat Welsh. And Pat, you were talking to me about the reasons why you became a member of this group, why you decided to join this group. Tell me a little bit about those reasons. What draws you to this mission?
Well, several. Part of it's professional. I was a former assistant DA in Montgomery County, Ohio. I also spent 26 years as a sworn police officer and a former commander of the Vice Narcotics and Intelligence Division of the Dayton, Ohio Police Department. And human trafficking was just a huge crime. It's second only to drug trafficking in the world. And so I was personally involved in the investigation and apprehension and prosecution of offenders. And I retired, moved to Colorado Springs, was here a couple years, and CSPD had started up a brand new human trafficking team within their Vice Narcotics Intelligence Division. And I was hired as a civilian investigator. So from 2014 to 2017, I was working cases. It was a joint, we were a metro unit. So we, Teller County, El Paso County, we did work with the Innocence Lost Task Force in Denver, FBI, HSI, all that kind of stuff. So I did that for 3 years. 2017, I decided I'm getting too old for this. So I left CSPD and was later contacted by Sister Roseanne, who found out about my background and experience and all that kind of stuff, and invited me to be a part of the board.
And I'm sure you bring a realistic sense to this mission, because you've dealt with the victims, you've dealt with the statistics, you've dealt with the crimes. Tell us, open our eyes to the issue, to how great an issue it is, and how the people that you might encounter in the course of an investigation end up being discovered to be victims as they're going through this process.
And it's because there's so many different groups. I mean, the FBI keeps stats, HSI keeps stats, the state keeps stats. To find a place that has all of it lumped together and current is a little bit difficult. But to just kind of give you a snapshot, just in Colorado from December of 2007 through June of 2019, there were over 2,000 victims of human trafficking identified just in Colorado. And the vast majority of those are on the Front Range, from Pueblo, I-25 to Fort Collins. You know, from Pueblo to Fort Collins is the that's the human trafficking pipeline in Colorado.
2,000. That is a figure that's hard to wrap your head around.
Now there, and not all of them get prosecuted. Here is two realities that people don't realize. Is 87% of the women and men, it's in children, that are victims of human trafficking, 80% of the women, that, because that's where the most data is collected, have been violently assaulted by their trafficker, and 50% of them have suffered severe head trauma, including traumatic brain injuries. And that impacts so negatively their ability to escape the victimization that they're experiencing, because they have suffered serious head trauma and TBIs. And so it's not a victimless crime. A lot of people, you know, oh, they want to be doing it. No, they don't. You know, the force, the fraud, the coercion, and in our children, we're dealing through Bakita, we're dealing with 18-year-old and up. But this isn't even counting the stats involving children. So that's one thing. The other reality is that the biggest gap in the fighting human trafficking is the services, residential treatment services for women who have been able to escape, because it's upwards of 90% of women that are rescued by law enforcement, or maybe by a concerned citizen or a resource agency that does interdiction type stuff. Upwards of 90% of those women, after they're rescued, return to their trafficker because there is no option for them for a long-term recovery.
And because so the shelters aren't addressing their specific needs.
Right. Yeah, they're halfway houses, they're transitional housing, which is all great because that's a stepping stone to get them to residential treatment. Bakita Mountain Home is the only residential treatment facility for women over 18 that is a two-year program that gives them the safe haven. It's a not, nobody knows where our home is at. They get the trauma-informed therapy because they have been traumatically damaged and injured. And we get them that therapy, and we get them life-enhancing skills. A minute, you're 18 years old, you don't know how to shop for food, you don't know how to cook, you don't know how to balance a checkbook, you don't know how to do a job application. So we give them life-enhancing skills. So that was what really drew me to the mission and vision of Bakita to participate on their board.
Well, and certainly as I bring Sister Roseanne Barman on the line again, she's a Benedictine sister, the Benedictine Sisters, as well as the Sisters of St. Francis, both part of the founding group that really launched the Bakita Mountain Home into existence. And Sister, can you tell us the women that you meet through this program, their strength is that they got out, but how do you continue to build on that strength and to get these women to where they're able to have a self-sustaining life?
Yes, Shannon, I think that as in my brief experience with survivors of human trafficking, there is a resilience in the women that I've known. And it's a resilience, I feel it's a God gift in each person. Despite all that's happened to them, they still have belief and goodness, and their desire, and this is a very important piece of our Bakita Mountain Home philosophy and approach, that these women will sign a covenant with us, with the board, with the staff at Bakita Mountain Home, and they will know what the program is about. They will know that it's to help them have a safe place, a place where they can grow through trauma-informed therapy. And more importantly than that, what are their goals for their lives? Do they need education? Do they need job skills? Do they need help in getting on their feet and having a life that is wholesome and what God meant for them to have? So it's those, that gift that I believe is embedded in each human being, the desire for the good and the true and the beautiful. And that's what we're tapping into.
Well, I'm speaking today to Sister Roseanne Barman, as well as Pat Welsh, both with the group, the nonprofit Bakita Mountain Home. And it is a community where love heals, restores, and empowers women impacted by human trafficking. We were hearing about some of the really stunning statistics about just how many victims are in our state. And so we will continue this discussion, talking about ways this group is helping and ways you perhaps who are listening might be able to help in this mission. Our time right now is 9:32. We're going to take a short break here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, topics, and issues that are important to you and in our community. And we know that so much of the focus in recent days and weeks has been on the coronavirus. We expect that to be continuing in the days and weeks and months ahead. But right now, we're taking a moment, an hour, to talk about a different issue, an issue that is of prime importance in our community, but it is probably a hidden issue to many people that were not aware of the extreme nature of the problem, of just how many people it's impacting. We were talking to earlier Pat Welsh, who is the vice president of the board of Bakita Mountain Home, and you were telling us about just how many thousands are actually registered possibly as victims or known as victims throughout the state of Colorado, mostly along the I-25 corridor. We also have on the phone Sister Roseanne Barman, who is a Benedictine sister and treasurer of the board of Bakita Mountain Home. And Sister Roseanne, right before break, I think you were in the middle of a thought, and I want you to continue and clarify your thought. Why is it that this is, I guess, such a needed thing in our community, Bakita Mountain Home?
Thank you, Shannon. Well, what I was addressing is the human spirit of these survivors. I'd just like to say that human trafficking of persons, we call it modern-day slavery. And we think slavery is over with, but it isn't. And a lot of the victims are women and children and adult women. And so they are forced through fraud or coercion to perform commercial sex. It's the most kind of hideous and terrible kind of crime and exploitation of the human person. And in spite of that exploitation and in spite of that slavery of that they've endured over the years, there's still a desire for what they're created to be. And so that's what we tap into with Vaquita Mountain Home. Their desire to be full human beings is self-sustaining and have what you and I all have, an education, love in our lives. Many of these women that we're specifically focusing on, the women, have very little self-confidence, very, very poor self-image. They've been controlled through drugs and alcohol through their lives until they're rescued. So there is so much that has to happen to help them. I want to make it really clear. We are in the process of creating the home. It isn't, we have a lease with Penrose St. Francis Centura and the Colorado Health Initiative of Denver and of Colorado. They are leasing the home to us at a very wonderful rate. And so we have the home. We're in the process of remodeling. But we're creating a home that will be a place where these women have many of the things that they've never had. They will have a key to the home. I mean, that sounds like not much for us, but that's really an important factor, that they have a home to go to. And many of them haven't had a home because some women, some children are sold into trafficking, and this was startling for me, as very young children, as young as 6 months. And they became commercial products to be sold for pleasure, for greed, for money, for what have you. So we want to create a home where they can be healed, they can grow in self-sufficiency, they can experience beauty, they can experience goodness, they can experience community. It's a residential community where love heals and empowers and restores these women. It is a lifetime process. I had a survivor tell me one time, she said, "Sister, we'll always have to have therapy. We'll always have to have support, and we'll have to have community, because we're trying to bring back all the things that many of us take for granted that they've never had in their lives."
Right. So the immediate needs, what you're trying to achieve is to fundraise, to remodel and furnish the home that you have the lease for, to fund the operations, which would include, you know, right, setting up the office, making sure that they have utilities, like electricity, I'm sure, and computers, and hiring staff. We want to mention the website that you can go to find out more about this organization and this drive. It's www.vaquitamountainhome.org. And Vaquita Mountain Home is a 501c3 charitable organization, so you should know that your any donation would be tax deductible. We have Pat Welsh also on the phone. And Pat, you became involved in this through your work already with survivors and the human trafficking, I guess you would call it criminal enterprises that go on, that when you actually meet up with some of these women, do you consider them victims, or are you coming at them because they've been involved in a crime?
Well, if you understand the criminology of trafficking, it's a business, and the people that are the victims are also necessarily the participants in the crime. It's prostitution. So your brothels, massage parlors, in home, truck stops, they're part of the crime involves them. Mm-hmm. And so what we would do is, particularly when I was with CSPD, is yes, there's the underlying crime. They have committed the crime of prostitution, you know, a sex act in exchange for money. That is a crime. But what we would do with the women and children that we would come across is we're not locking them up. There's a series of questions and some assessment tools that we use to find out, are they a victim and they want out?
Mm-hmm.
There are women that are engaged in prostitution, knowingly, voluntarily, intentionally, are involved. But the vast majority of the women that are involved and all the children that are involved, a child cannot knowingly, voluntarily, intelligently commit these crimes.
Right.
So, yes, some of the women do get charged with prostitution because they refuse services, they refuse to cooperate, testify against their pimp, and they get charged criminally. But that is a small percentage of the women. And Sister really, I'm going to be very, very blunt. She was trying to frame what our victims look like. Let me tell you the brutal reality of women victims of human trafficking in the United States. Their average age of becoming a victim was 13 years old.
They're groomed that young. 13.
Sister and I know somebody locally that was trafficked from the age of 4 to the age of 17, because this is what happens. 65 to 90% of victims of human trafficking were first victims of incest in a home. 60% of the adult survivors, these are women who have been rescued and survived. You can be rescued and not be a survivor because you went back to your trafficker, you went back to the life. But 60% of adult survivors, that means they've been out at least 2 years and not gone back into the life and back to their trafficker. 60% of those women came out of the foster care system. And then you throw on top of that what I told you earlier about the head trauma and being mm-hmm. violently assaulted. It's a horrendous crime. And it's happening here. We know somebody that lives in our community that was trafficked by her grandfather starting at the age of 4. And she's been out 30 years. She has been a survivor for 30 years. And she will tell you, I still have triggering fears. There are things that Sister said, we'll always have therapy.
Because
the psychological damage is incredible.
Right, because the head games that the perpetrators are engaging with these victims with, they start young. If you're talking about 13, that is really a formative time, or even younger, a formative time in creating these self-fulfilling prophecies that are false, and that these women are working hard to triumph against and to beat back against. We are talking with two of the members of the board of Bikita Mountain Home, an endeavor that is trying to put in place a shelter, a safe place for women who've been victimized by human trafficking, sex trafficking, to find shelter and to find a place to heal from that trauma. We have much more to talk about. We have a short time left, but we will try to get it all in before the top of the hour. We're going to take a short break right now, but we'll be back in a moment with how you can get involved in this cause. We've been talking to two of the members of the board of a group called Bikita Mountain Home, and we're talking about sex trafficking, human sex trafficking, an issue that a lot of folks probably are not aware of, but it is happening in this community and other communities in Colorado, and the statistics rather astounding. 2,000 victims identified through reports and investigations in just the last several years, and certainly we don't see anything to stem the tide other than continued law enforcement action, but also providing a place, a shelter, a healing place for the victims of it is the mission of this group, the board of Bikita Mountain Home. So I want to tell everyone the website again to find out more is Bikita, and it's spelled B-A-K-H-I-T-A mountainhome.org. And joining us on the phone, as they have throughout this hour, we have Pat Welsh and Sister Roseanne Barman, a Benedictine sister, the sisters, the Benedictine sisters, as well as the Sisters of St. Francis, two of the orders of sisters who are involved in this endeavor, but also lay people like Pat, who joined through your, I guess, your background. You got more recruited, Pat, through this. The girls who get involved in this, the women who get involved in this, they are essentially groomed into this and sucked into this really without knowing. Can you tell us about that a little?
Yeah, a lot of them start out because they ran away from home. They were a juvenile runaway, and they are easy targets for the predators. So, you know, hey, I'll give you a place to stay. And so it's a safe, they think they're getting safety. They're running away from something, and they think they're getting something better. And it's all a trap. It's psychological. And then with adult women, it can be force, it can be fraud, it can be, we call, there's a certain pimp, kind of pimp, we call a gorilla. And literally, they beat these girls into submission and compliance and to work for them. And so there's a lot of ways that they end up in the system. But I just want to give you, again, I don't want to sugarcoat anything. Between January 1st of 2012 and July 31st of 2017, Arapahoe County had 101 child trafficking cases that they investigated. So it is, it's an epidemic in Colorado, but it's a silent epidemic because of the nature of the business.
And to find a place where the women can regain some of the footing that they've lost during this experience, that is the goal of Bikita Mountain Home. And we have Sister Roseanne Barman, who's been so kind to join us. Sister, can you tell us about some of the fundraising? Your goal is pretty ambitious. $2.5 million is what you estimate it's going to take for everything that you want to do and want to provide for this home, for these women. What sort of fundraising plans do you have right now?
Yes, thank you, Shannon. The $2.5 million goal is it's horrendous. I mean, it's a huge goal. It's a challenging goal, and especially right now with the markets and what's happening in the financial situation, we realize that this is a very tough time. The goal is over a 10-year period. It's to get us launched, to get us open, to get us stabilized financially so that we're in for the long haul. These homes have to run on community support. We're not accepting, or we do not anticipate to accept federal funds, perhaps state funds, but we don't know that yet. But we have to count on the community. We have to count on a coalition of churches, a coalition of businesses, the whole community to get behind it. And we feel they will. Once they know about it, and once we can inform people what our needs are. Right now, on our website, that we are having a Walk for Survivors, and you can go to Walk for Survivors, run, sign up, and it's an actual walk scheduled for May 16th, and we also have a virtual walk involved. With the anticipation that perhaps we might still be under lockdown, we still might not be able to gather as groups. So go to that website, run, sign up, Walk for Survivors, and click on the opportunities there to register, to donate. And remember, after this program this morning, realize what your money is going for. It's very, very important. You're helping people who have been enslaved, forced by fraud and by manipulation is a huge aspect of this. That's one thing we'd like for you to do, to look at. And then the other thing would be to tell other people about it. When people ask me, well, what's Bikita? that's my opening for saying, well, thank you for asking me about that. Because it is a catchy word. It's a marketing word, but it's more than that. It's going to be home where love heals and empowers and restores women to their rightful role as a daughter of God.
Well, and we have loved learning about it. We're running out of time. Sister Roseanne, okay, as well as Pat Welsh, thank you so much for joining us on our program today. Again, if you'd like to find out more, the website is Bakita, spelled B-A-K-H-I-T-A, mountainhome.org. They're trying to provide women healing, safe haven, therapy, and life-enhancing skills, a worthy goal for women who really don't have any other venue to finding escape from the clutches of human sex trafficking. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We thank our guests and we thank our listeners. And we'll be back again tomorrow.